going to do a little intro talking about India, and then we'll set up a video that Johnson sent for us, and let Lane take it from there. I'm a numbers guy. I always kind of helps me make sense of things, and something we've read recently is that India is now the most populated country in the world. They have surpassed China. India has 1.42 billion people. China is 1.39 billion. So India, the country of India itself, has 17% of the entire world population living within it. The size of India, physically, is one-third of the size of the United States. So the United States population is about 340 million. So in one-third of the space that we have, they have over four times as many people living. India is about, Texas is a fifth of the size of India, so just a different picture of it. Five Texases is one India. Breakdown of religion over there, 80% of the people in India are Hindu, 14% are followers of Islam, about 3% is other, and 3% is Christianity. Now, that's the official numbers. Johnson says that because of people fearing the oppression that comes with declaring their faith, there's probably more like 6% Christianity in India. But that still means that there's 90 to 94% of opportunities of people who do not know Christ or who have not had the opportunity to get to know him. Over the years, Johnson's family, through several generations, have been a huge part of trying to change those numbers. There are areas of India where it's still absolutely scary, Lane was talking about in class, to even mention the word Christianity, much less try to become one. But over the generations, they have planted hundreds of churches. They have schools. They have training centers where they teach women how to sew. They have a college. They have a children's school right there in Bhimavaram, where they live. They've got a whole women's rescue for women who've been battered and abused that Esther has set up. It's an amazing ministry. But they're pumping out preachers on a very frequent basis. They have multiple preaching schools, and this is a ministry that becomes self-supporting. I didn't bring the number of how much money we sent them last year, but as far as all the churches that support India, but the numbers we do send them are teaching churches to be self-sufficient. I would say that 75% of the church plants over there are already self-supporting. So the monies we send up there are producing new preachers and planting new churches in a world where only 6% are Christian. 94% of everything around them is going against them. We also, just another report before this year we collected $1,000 to send to India widows. That will support 17 widows for a year. That was probably one of the coolest missions, part of the trips that me and Lane got to do. We got to actually hand out the blankets of support to some of these widows when we were there. That was 5 years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. It's ingrained in me. I'd love to go back, and one of these days we'll work that out. But I believe in India. I believe in the work that we're doing there. I believe in all the work that Eastside supports. They'll give you a few more numbers in this video. I'll let them kind of talk through it, and then I'm going to turn it over to Lane. Thank you.
preachers' meetings. From 2018 to 2024, we have conducted 34 preachers' meetings across two places, each attended by about 70 members. We also provided gifts and served lunch during these gatherings. Overall, the Preachers Meet organized by the Church of Christ Ministries exemplifies a thoughtful initiative to uplift and strengthen preachers, both spiritually and materially. We currently operate three Bible colleges. 20 members have been trained from 2016 to 2023 through the third batch of 10 members currently in progress. Additionally, 10 members were trained during 2019 to 2020. Total 40 members have trained during this period. Trained preachers take up the Great Commission to go with the gospel into the unreached areas. So far, since 1996, we have trained 380 students again. We want to start the center again in Bimavarong and to link with Browning Vocational Training. Community halls over the past 5 years, we have contributed to the construction of 15 churches and locations. Zoom meetings. In 2023 to 2024, we held 12 Zoom meetings with 40 to 50 members participating each month. Mr. Madidi Johnson and Mr. Madidi Prem Kumar shared the Word of God during these sessions. Foster Care Center, we operate two foster care centers in two areas, supporting 25 children from 2018 to 2024. The local preacher will supervise, pays tuition fee, clothes, books, and regular needs. Every day, children come to the foster care after school hours and get the tuition. Homework done at these centers. We provide daily snacks, educational gifts, and celebrate occasions like Republic Day and Christmas. Charlene Browning Health Center. There are nearly 8 villages receiving medical help. Number of patients visits the hospital average 40 patients per week. The age group that monthly getting benefited are 60 to 70 years male and female. Most of the care is for diabetic wounds, skin infection, and gynec issue of women. They walk in hopelessness and walk out with hope. It works well with the government also. The medical center is able to provide a range of medications at no cost to patients. 50% of the nurses. Technicians, health workers are the graduates of Browning Junior College. At the health center, the medical team consists of one doctor, one head nurse, and one junior nurse. The doctor conducts checkups 3 times a week, with the schedule as follows. Water Plants Marks Mineral Water was established in 2010 in coastal tribal rural districts of Andhra Pradesh. There is no alternative to contaminated canal water and pond water. Today, we installed 8 mineral water plants serving 400 families, providing clean water which can keep them free from contaminated diseases, providing mineral water to 60 to 70 people daily. Flood relief efforts in 2 areas in response to the 2022 floods. We provided essentials to 1,700 families, including support for church preachers. In the 2024 floods, we distributed food and groceries to 265 affected families and assisted church preachers financially. Hope in Stitches It was established in 2010. This program enables women to stand on their feet by learning tailoring. Our sewing centers in 2 areas feature a total of 10 sewing machines. Training classes are held daily, and many participants have started their own businesses. There is a 6-month training program held annually for a group of 40 to 50 participants. The training is divided into 2 sessions each day from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. and again from 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. This structured approach ensures that participants gain comprehensive skills in both areas. In 2023, Sister Carrie Tidwell gave center at one center. Women in Need, this program is started in 2003 to support widows in the ministry area. These women often abandoned by children. This support has been an encouragement at their old age. They feel cared, express the words of courage. Our mission is simple yet profound, to empower women in need and provide them with the support and resources they require to thrive. We are delighted to announce that we are extending our support through both gifts and financial aid and free medical services. Currently, there are 60 members in the Women in Need. Some members are suffering from seasonal fevers, while others are bedridden due to various illnesses. Preacher Purushottam has been visiting their homes, providing them with fruits and necessary medications to support their recovery. Jeff and Diane Senior Citizen Home, we strive to create a supportive and vibrant environment where every resident feels valued and cherished. At Senior Citizen Home, we offer shelter, food, beds, and emergency care. Our dedicated staff is here to provide support, guidance, and assistance to all our residents, including the women who seek shelter with us. Recently, kitchen was built and interior is done by the support of Sister Debbie Reed, and compound wall height raised. White's English medium school, initially Church of Christ School, started in 1982 to reach the local poor children. The principle of White's school is to offer English medium education to poor and lower middle class community. Staff and Esther keeps good relation with parents. We believe boldly that God will do amazing things through school. During this period, our institution operated classes from lower kindergarten to seventh grade. We had a total of 250 students enrolled, supported by 15 teaching staff and 7 non-teaching staff.
Well, good morning. And if by chance somebody's up in the middle of the night in India, Swagatamu, which is welcome, and Namaskaram, which is a greeting. What you just witnessed in that video is... It might be a little bit confusing at some points that we are doing a lot of work to help education, a lot of work to provide water and health care and college, and there's a lot of the fundamental needs. I love the fact that they spoke about all of the preaching and the preaching schools and the ministers being encouraged at the beginning, but I want to remind you this morning, first thing, of James chapter 2 and starting in verse 15. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. I assure you that every aspect of the ministry that you saw up there is pointing individuals in India to God. It is an effort to not only heal the souls of people, not only win the souls of people, but also an effort to ensure that they're safe, to ensure that they're healthy. It's taking care of both their soul and their bodies. That is one of the missions that Johnson has expressed multiple times, that it is deep in his heart that he is passionate about not only healing the souls, but also the bodies of the people around him, taking care of the people. A lot of that went pretty fast, so I'm going to discuss some of the ministries in a little bit more in depth. He brought up preachers' meetings from 2018 to 2024. They've had 34 meetings, and there have been 70 preachers that have joined in those meetings each time, roughly 70. And the goal of that is to kind of give these ministers a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of uplifting, because they are on the front lines. They are encountering persecution on a daily basis. They are surrounded by other religions, as Andy was bringing up. When you travel through India, you'll notice that on every corner or every hilltop or every store that you walk in, they have an idol that you walk past or you drive past, and these idols are their gods. They worship them, and it is frowned upon if you do not participate in that. The churches are able to function. They are able to build churches. As you saw, we've built 15 churches in the past 5 years. That means 3 churches a year, roughly. I'm grateful that Andy's good with numbers, because I'm not. I lean a lot more to the emotional side and the feelings about it. I can't help as I did in class, I'm sure you'll see it here shortly, that I will cry here in a minute. Another brief note, if you haven't seen this back on that back table in the corner, this is a little pamphlet that basically covers everything that they talked about in the video. What I ended up doing is I took pictures of every page. They only sent us two, so please leave it back there, and if you want to, take pictures and read through it at home, or spend a little bit of time after church and hang out, visit, and read it. I'm going to start off kind of like I did in class. I want to tell you that whenever I first got made the point of contact for this ministry, I was concerned. I had doubts. I had concerns about this possibly not being all legit as far as a ministry goes. I've heard horror stories about missions and charities where somebody's just taking advantage of a group of people. And at the beginning, whenever I first heard about this ministry, I knew nothing about it other than that we sent money to Johnson and Esther over in India. I didn't really know them. But in January of 2020, Andy and I got an opportunity to go over there and visit. And almost immediately when we showed up, I was convicted. Here it is. I was convicted because we showed up, and on the way to Bimvaram, we stopped at Chiricahuata. Chiricahuata was the church that you saw up here with the sewing center and the medical center, and it wasn't. It's not just a church. It is a church, and it functions as a church Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights. Anytime they need, but it's so much more than a church. It is a medical center. It is a center that trains young ladies how to sew so that they'll have a livelihood. It shows them life skills so that, and they train for. I wrote it down here. Hope and Stitches is the name of it. They have two locations where they train. They have 10 sewing machines between the two locations. They have a 6-month training period, and each training period they train 40 to 50 participants. These young ladies learn how to make things and sell them and make a living for their families. Sometimes they are the only support that their family has. And while they're here, note that the pastor of the church at Chiricahuata is overseeing all of this ministry. It's not just he's watching over the church. He's also going into the hospital. He's going into the senior citizen home. He is an integral part of every aspect of that ministry. The very next day, or later that night, we ended up arriving at Bimavaram, which happens to be the home of Johnston and Esther. But once again, I was convicted. Because it's not just a home. It's a Christian home. Much more of a Christian home than I can even say of my own. Because it is so welcoming. It has become a home to young boys and girls from the neighborhood. It has become a school for the poor from kindergarten up to seventh grade. The White's English Medium School is what it's called. They learn scriptures. They learn Christian songs. And they learn things that they wouldn't have an opportunity to if Johnson and Esther didn't open up their home to them. It is a ministry for the widows in need that Sister Nancy actually is the point of contact to collect funds for that. Sister Nancy Doyle. And if you haven't realized, you look around this room, we're shrinking a little bit. So are the contributions because of that, and also because of the economy. But these women in need, the numbers are down some from last year, which can be expected. But the year before, we actually, I think, doubled, or maybe it was last year that we doubled the contribution. That is one of the main ministries that we support from here at Eastside with them. Of course, we support all of these churches. Each time we would go to a different church throughout the trip, it didn't matter what time of the day or night, early in the morning, we showed up to this church, and like Andy's saying, they're all there. The whole church is there, and they either left work or woke up early in the middle of the night to come and see us, just to be encouraged and to encourage us. They showed up, and they had, by the time we got there, they had hot tea or chai. They had coffee. A lot of them wanted to prepare food for us, and the hospitality of such places is overwhelming. Maybe it's their culture. Maybe it's like we talked about. They're in a culture that they have to depend upon one another. But I would have to say that it's also the love of Christ that is just so vibrant in their life over there. I was talking to Rick just before or right after class, and he shared a little bit of a testimony with me about, what was it, Guatemala? In Honduras. Do you mind if I share? Okay. In Honduras, there's something about these cultures where him and his team had been ministering with medical services, and some lady came up and she got in line, and it was an all-day wait. It was a very long wait to get in to see them. And she was 80 years old, and she showed up. She got up there to them, and she didn't even have any ailments. There was no reason for her to be there other than to tell every one of them thank you, to hug them. That's a you won't find that here too often. Going over and seeing these people and their ministries, it humbles me. And I hope that I do them justice. I hope that Andy and I have done them justice as we come and we share the ministries that they're doing over there. Because I think that going there was more of a ministry to us than we could have ever been to them. I think that seeing the church on the front lines in action is more of a ministry than we can do with years and years of Bible study. Something I brought up in class was that when we support our missionaries, when we support our brothers and sisters overseas, remember, we're not just giving to a charity. They don't just need the loose change in our pockets. Remember that we are, as Andy said in our communion talk, we are one body. We are part of the mission of God to the people of India, to the people around this world. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And when we contribute to these ministries, it is not just a charity. It is an investment in the kingdom of God and the progress of the gospel. I could stay up here and I could talk for the rest of the day, but I think that y'all have an idea of what ministries are going on. India is on my heart. It's my home away from home. I love these people. As I know that the boys love those in Africa because they've been over there and they've allowed them to touch them and they're reaching to their heart. I'm sure the same is for Hui and his team. Brothers and sisters, as you go through this week, and remember that next week Hui's going to come. I believe Hui's coming and speaking next week. We're approaching the end of this missions month. I want you to spend this week in prayer and fasting. Consider not how much spare change in your pocket that you can share, but actually consider the investment. What is it worth? What is the progress of the kingdom of God around the world that we support worth investing in? And on a separate note, separate from that investment, I ask you to invest in a brother, an individual brother in India, if you are led to. Brother Campbell he has been with Johnson and Esther and their ministry since 2004. He ministers in a city called Chintapalli. It's a city a couple of miles away from one of the most persecuted churches, or one of the most persecuted states in India. It's called Odisha. And he is one of our brothers that is actually crossing over the border. He's one of the ones that's actually moving into enemy territory, risking his life and limb. And he is asking for something. Johnson wanted me to say, since that beginning of his ministry with them in 2004, he has not asked for any help. He has not asked for anything. But now he is asking for help to build a two-bedroom house next to the church there in Chintapalli. That way he can be closer to the church and be a better minister to his fellowship. Johnson says he's not asking for the full amount. He's just asking for support. He wants to collect some help from there in India. If you feel led to assist in that, please contact me after church or sometime in the next week or two. As we close, I want to take a moment and I want you to consider, what is your role in this mission? What is your role in the mission of God? I'm not saying necessarily the mission to India or the mission to Africa, but we are all part of one mission, and that's the mission to fulfill God's will in this world. As we pray, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we ask that his will be done in our lives and in our church. And that is our mission. Each of us plays a part in that. And I'm going to read real quick and then I'll be done. Let me read Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. What is your role in the mission? For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, and if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If you have any need this morning, if you feel convicted this morning that you need change in your life, then I ask, as we stand and sing, that you will come forward or meet one of the elders out in the aisles.